neighborhood. This home, which belongs to Al-Aggad family, was targeted last night, killing the entire family inside this house. Father, the mother, and the three little children. But not only that, because of the devastating and massive scale of the bombardment, two of the neighbors as well were killed within this airstrike that was carried by the Israeli occupation.
You can see how closely the homes are built here. We were jolted awake by a thunderous blast, only to find the remains of neighbors scattered across the streets. Our neighborhood has already borne the brunt of Israel's aggression, and now, despite being labeled as a safe zone and instructed to be sought refuge here, we are still enduring relentless bombardment.
Until this morning, the families could collect the remains of the family and the neighbors due to this brutal attack that literally turned the family inside this home into pieces. The neighbors are still cleaning the rubble, looking for any of the remains of the family that was killed here.
The attack was so intense that we thought our home had been bombed, but it was our neighbors. We are still clearing the rubble, searching for more remains of the children who were killed alongside their parents here. These innocent people did nothing to deserve such a brutal end. We call on everyone in the world to put an end to this genocide.
This is the situation inside the so-called safe zone, where the occupation is now directing the families in southern Khan Yunis and Rafah to come to. More massacres and more killing is awaiting the families here who are still subjected to this massive campaign by the occupation that doesn't seem to go any easier on the families here. Ahmed al-Najjar, Khan Yunis.
Whatever goes up must come down. A fitting theme for Yemen's military operations in support of Palestine. The armed forces of Yemen have downed yet another U.S. MQ-9 Reaper drone, an unmanned combat aerial vehicle capable of remotely control.
The Yemeni army's air defenses, with the help of Allah Almighty, were able to shoot down an American MQ-9 drone while it was carrying out hostile missions in the airspace of Al Hudaydah Governorate. The drone was downed with a locally made surface-to-air missile. This is the second drone being shot down in 72 hours and the 17th one during the operations in support of Gaza.
Yemen began its pro-Gaza operations in November 2023. Experts say the growing number of American drones being shot down by Yemen not only reflects tactical success, but signals a significant leap in the country's military capability.
The U.S. is very upset with what they have suffered in the Red Sea and Arabian Sea as Yemen continues to attack them. Moreover, Yemen will continue to advance militarily. Yemen is not satisfied with only shooting down 17 U.S. drones. In the near future, there will be more surprises that will benefit the people and armed forces of Yemen.
Amid the successful Yemeni operations, U.S. President Donald Trump has claimed that the country conducts its attacks with Iran's support, an allegation strongly denied by the Yemenis.
We will continue to support the people of Palestine. Our military success came from the preparation of our armed and air defense forces, and we will continue to counter this American aggression on our nation. We will continue to support Palestine. Iran is an ally of Yemen. However, they have no say whatsoever with regards to our wars and our military, defending our land from this U.S. aggression.
The United States launched intense airstrikes on Yemen last month after the Arab country resumed its maritime military operations in support of Palestinians in war-ravaged Gaza.
The Yemeni armed forces have shot down more U.S. drones, demonstrating their growing capability to counter advanced aerial threats and sending a clear message of defiance amid ongoing aggression against their country. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
On Wednesday, a number of Italian lawmakers pressured Italy's Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani to finally express words of condemnation for the Israeli regime and Benjamin Netanyahu after 18 months of relentless slaughter in Gaza. Tajani answered questions on Israel's genocidal acts in the Palestine during a question time in the Senate. His words were far from condemnation for Netanyahu's heinous crimes.
Our government's position is clear. Conditions for a political dialogue must be created in order to achieve a two-state solution, but without Hamas. I will reiterate this at tomorrow's EU summit of foreign ministers.
I'm flabbergasted. Once again, you haven't been able to express a single word of condemnation for Israel's onslaught of more than 50,000 people in Gaza, many of whom are children. Gaza is razed to the ground. Minister, you haven't been able to say a single word on the one responsible for this massacre, war criminal Netanyahu.
Italy's support to Israel's genocidal operations in Gaza has been so far unconditional. In January, the Italian government told Israeli officials that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu would not be arrested under an ICC warrant were he to visit the country. War criminal Netanyahu is slated to pay an official visit to Hungary this week following an invitation from Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán. Some Italian lawmakers have said Hungary should deny entry to Netanyahu or arrest him if he sets foot in the country.
Netanyahu's visit to Hungary is one of the many legs of the Israeli government's macabre tour of Europe. We deem Netanyahu and his government partners bloodthirsty war criminals, and unfortunately, the international community and most Western governments have failed to provide any opposition to Israel at all. We must strongly oppose the Israeli genocide by imposing sanctions on Netanyahu's government, including suspending Israel-EU association agreement.
Former EU High Representative for Foreign Affairs Joseph Borrell has often insisted on convening a summit with Israel to discuss violations of human rights obligations under the EU-Israel Association Agreement. However, Borrell's successor Kaya Kallas has so far been much more obliging towards the regime than her predecessor, Max Civili, Rome.
The Gaza Strip is facing a severe humanitarian crisis as Israeli blockade, now exceeding a month, continues to prevent the entry of essential aid, including food, fuel, and medical supplies.
The Gaza Strip is going through the most dire circumstances ever. The famine is back again, even more severely, as 25 bakeries stop completely. This current crisis is unprecedented, as this is the longest time span of closure of the Gazan crossings by the Israeli regime. This in turn has caused the shortage of flour and fuel needed for the bakeries to operate.
The United Nations World Food Programme reported that all bakeries in Gaza have ceased operations due to the acute shortages of flour and fuel. The WFP emphasized that bread, often the only accessible food for many families, is becoming unattainable, warning that famine is a serious risk looming for the Gazan population.
All the bakeries closed today because of the continuing closure of crossings. All what was stored in our warehouses by the WFP have been consumed completely. So here we are now. Without any ingredients, there is no way we can work. We used to consume 250 to 300 tons of flour daily, which was less than the actual amount needed for the population. Now there is no choice for us.
The dire humanitarian crisis is further exacerbated by the continuous Israeli military aggression that not only claims the lives of thousands, but also makes survival for 2.2 million Gazans a struggle.
As the blockade endures, the people of Gaza continue to face an increasingly desperate struggle for survival, with starvation looming as a significant threat besides the continuous Israeli aggressive attacks. Ghad Ibrahim, Gaza City.
Over 3 weeks of daily U.S. airstrikes across Yemen have failed to achieve their declared goals of ending the Yemeni blockade against Israeli shipments in the Red Sea. When the Trump administration first launched its military operations, they confidently claimed the strikes would just last a few days. But upon entering the war with Yemen, Trump discovered what many had learned before him. Starting a war in Yemen is easy. Escaping its endless trap is where the real fight begins.
These U.S. airstrikes against innocent Yemenis and against Yemen came with the goal to protect and secure Israel and to stop Yemen from its support for Palestine. They have failed to achieve this main task. The biggest proof for this is that Yemen continues to attack Israel and has even expanded its operations targeting Ben Gurion Airport and forcing it to close along with attacking more Israeli sites.
And that's because Yemen is constantly developing and manufacturing more advanced weapons at a record speed. According to military experts in Yemen, this accelerated development is baffling American military planners and reshaping battlefield calculations.
Today, Yemen's armed forces have acquired superior military means across the board, weapons that can hit with more precision and hit at greater distances against U.S. targets. This is changing the balance of power in this war in favor of the Yemeni people and the axis of resistance.
As Washington scrambles for answers, Yemen isn't just withstanding the assault, it's rewriting the rules of the battle.
According to Yemen's defense minister, the armed forces have made significant progress in developing new weapons, which could soon be used to target additional U.S. positions on both land and sea. Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
Controversial remarks by the Israeli envoy have sparked outrage among the Palestinian solidarity community in Austria. Addressing members of the Jewish community on March 20, Ambassador David Roed is heard saying there should be a death sentence for 16-year-old teenagers in Gaza, and if Europe invests in rebuilding Gaza, Israel will have to destroy it the next time. Palestine solidarity activists launched a petition to the Austrian government calling for the expulsion of the diplomat.
In the video, he called for the death penalty for minors in Gaza and emphasized that Israel will continue to destroy Gaza. So he not only defended Israel's genocidal strategy, but even endorsed it. This is unacceptable for an international representative, and therefore he must be recalled.
The remarks have been heavily condemned by Jewish anti-Zionist activists in Austria who have recently launched the Vienna Jewish Anti-Zionist Declaration to strengthen Jewish pro-Palestinian voices in Europe. They criticize the close relationship between the Austrian Prime Minister Christian Stocker and the Israeli ambassador.
There is obviously a very close contact between Stocker and the Israeli embassy in a time where there is a genocide in Gaza, which is unacceptable for us from the end. We as a Jewish anti-Zionist initiatives, we condemn this strongly, and we will continue to pressure our government to stop all ties with Israel.
Some lawyers and solicitors prepared legal steps in response to the comments made by Roed and those in attendance.
From a legal perspective, it's difficult to do anything because the ambassador is immune. The immunity would have to be lifted to prosecute him, and the government won't do that. The real scandal, however, is that the remarks aren't even being investigated by police.
While there is strong condemnation in the international media, Austrian journalists have been silent about the video.
Activists are outraged over the continued alliance between the genocidal regime in Israel and the Austrian government. In a balanced act of disrespect to the Palestinian community, no Palestinian representatives were invited to the annual iftar hosted in the city hall by the mayor of Vienna last Thursday. While no Palestinian representatives were invited, Israeli representatives attended the event and were seated in the first row. Dieter Reinisch, Vienna.
Over 3 weeks of daily U.S. airstrikes across Yemen have failed to achieve their declared goals of ending the Yemeni blockade against Israeli shipments in the Red Sea. When the Trump administration first launched its military operations, they confidently claimed the strikes would just last a few days. But upon entering the war with Yemen, Trump discovered what many had learned before him. Starting a war in Yemen is easy. Escaping its endless trap is where the real fight begins.
These U.S. airstrikes against innocent Yemenis and against Yemen came with the goal to protect and secure Israel and to stop Yemen from its support for Palestine. They have failed to achieve this main task. The biggest proof for this is that Yemen continues to attack Israel and has even expanded its operations targeting Ben Gurion Airport and forcing it to close along with attacking more Israeli sites.
And that's because Yemen is constantly developing and manufacturing more advanced weapons at a record speed. According to military experts in Yemen, this accelerated development is baffling American military planners and reshaping battlefield calculations.
Today, Yemen's armed forces have acquired superior military means across the board, weapons that can hit with more precision and hit at greater distances against U.S. targets. This is changing the balance of power in this war in favor of the Yemeni people and the axis of resistance.
As Washington scrambles for answers, Yemen isn't just withstanding the assault, it's rewriting the rules of the battle. According to Yemen's defense minister, the armed forces have made significant progress in developing new weapons, which could soon be used to target additional U.S. positions on both land and sea. Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. The Supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure, from wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life, with forgiveness. Surely thou art the all-forgiving, the all-compassionate.
From Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has arrived in Budapest, Hungary, for a four-day visit in defiance of International Criminal Court arrest warrant. Now, the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has welcomed the war criminal with open arms and even vowed to pull his country out of the ICC. The Hague-based court has strongly criticized Budapest for not exercising its duty in apprehending Netanyahu, who, after an investigation last year, had an arrest warrant issued for responsibility for the war crime of starvation as a method of warfare and crimes against humanity of murder, persecution, and other inhumane acts during the Gaza genocide. Now, Budapest's refusal to fulfill its legal obligation under international law and ramifications of this move for the international legal order is a focus of today's Spotlight program. And now for our guests. Joining us is Blake Maroof, Executive Director at Free Palestine TV, joining us from Beirut. And Mr. Asad Abu Shark, Palestinian academic and activist, joining us from Dublin.
The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome both to the program. Leif, we're going to start with you. Your opening thoughts on how Palestinians must feel about this. Here's a war criminal that has orchestrated the wholesale slaughter of your people for over 17 months, actually had an arrest warrant issued for him, and you have this prospect, this hope now, of some kind of level of accountability, and here he is traveling freely to Hungary, a country helping him evade that very accountability.
Well, this is not the first Western government or country that Netanyahu has visited since the issuing of the ICC arrest warrants. But this is the first country that says that they will be withdrawing from the ICC to protect Netanyahu and the Zionist colony in general. But we know, of course, that Netanyahu already visited the United States and visited other European countries before Hungary. One thing that we should getting from this is to understand that international law and the international agencies that govern international law since World War II are right now at the edge of collapse. We are living the same moment after World War I when the League of Nations made colonization illegal. And the French and the British got the colonization light in the form of the mandate over Syria and Jordan and Palestine and Iraq and Lebanon, and that triggered Germany, Italy, and Japan to refuse the League of Nations and the international law that existed then because they wanted to colonize. Right now, we're living the same moment where the United States and the Western countries and Israel think that they have the right to colonize, occupy, kill, genocide, loot other nations, and they're refusing to abide by international law and the United Nations regulations. Therefore, both international law and the United Nations are right now at the edge of collapse, and there is no such thing as international law in reality.
And Laith, the exact thing that Viktor Orban, the Hungarian Prime Minister, said, he said it is no longer an impartial court, the ICC obviously, not a court of law, but a political court. And this is most clearly shown by the decisions regarding Israel. And he said, we think that a democratic rule of law state with any self-respect, such as Hungary, will not participate and cannot participate in an international court operating on the basis of political motives. Please tell me one politically motivated resolution or arrest warrant or adjudication carried out by the ICC against Israel that was unjustified or politically motivated for that fact.
Well, clearly the ICC had issued arrest warrants against President Putin of Russia. It had issued arrest warrants against African leaders and had arrested some of them. Therefore, either it is political, the choice of arresting or trying to arrest President Putin or African presidents, or it's not political. You can't have it both ways. And what we have seen is that the West has used the international law and international agencies for the last 80 years to its benefit. And finally, now that there is enough countries in the world to push the United Nations and the international courts to be just an equal treatment to the rest of humanity, we see now the West withdrawing from it. The statements from President Orban of Hungary is not unique. We had members of the Parliament of the UK issue also statements saying the ICC does not apply to Israel and that the ICC is being politicized. We hear the same thing from the United States, who is threatening the lives of those who work at the ICC. So, President Orban of Hungary is just, carrying on in the same process that the United Kingdom and the U.S. have already started of undermining international law and the International Criminal Court and the international agencies that govern relations between states since World War II.
And you mentioned that we're seeing a crumbling. How bad is this, the precedent that this all sets, the selective application of who gets adjudicated under international law, who gets sanctioned? I mean, you carry out a genocide, you don't see a single sanction. Then you have a country like Iran or Russia with over 1,600 sanctions hanging over their heads. How bad is this for the international legal order to have this kind of a selective administration of law?
Well, we have all watched together a genocide being committed for the last 17 months, and it's getting worse and worse and more brazen, the genocidal actions of the Israelis, because they have not had to deal with any consequences for their genocidal actions. So the truth of the matter is, right now, international law does not exist. International law, even before the committing of this genocide, was always de jure, de facto, not de jure, meaning can you bring it into fact? Do you have the force to bring it into fact? And up until now, the nations in our region here have not been able to enforce international law on those who violated against us. And therefore, it's never been applied to us to save us, to protect our rights. And right now, the choices in front of us are to survive by fighting back or to watch our nations being destroyed by the powerful armies of the United States and its vassals, and nobody's going to stop them. International law is not going to stop them. It's never saved anybody, international law, only force. And therefore, Iran and the Palestinians and the Yemen and Lebanon all have to arm themselves to the teeth and prepare themselves for the violations of international law that are going to come, because nobody is stopping the West from these violations.
Thank you, Laith. I'd like to also welcome now Mr. Asad Abu Shark. Welcome to the conversation, our spotlight program here, Mr. Abu Shark. Your initial thoughts, please, sir, on the story. Hungary, as a signatory to the Rome Statute, is legally bound to comply with the ICC rulings. So what benefit do these countries and certain leaders derive from Tel Aviv and Washington that warrants, that justifies them turning their backs on morality, on justice for the women and children of Gaza?
To tell you the truth, nothing. To tell you the truth, nothing justifies what Hungary is doing. But there is now, we are witnessing the new world disorder, which is led by the Americans, of course, by Trump. And this word a new world disorder punishes the victim and rewards the criminal. And this is what they are doing. They are actually rewarding the criminal, rewarding Netanyahu, because Hungary wants to appease the Americans and wants to have, you know, because of have economic relations with Americans and with the Israelis. And there is not much pressure from the Arabs or Muslims or the Europeans. And so as far as Hungary, because Hungary, nobody is going to bring, even though they, of course, were signatory to International Criminal Court, but 2 days ago, I think, or yesterday, or even today, they withdraw their signature. And because they feel that they are doing that and with impunity, and nobody can bring them to account, and nobody can bring Netanyahu to account, and nobody can bring America to account. So the whole world is in a case of chaos. And then, this is why this man is supporting and giving or receiving Netanyahu, and probably he is probably going to give him not only this, not only just to welcome him, probably he will give him more than that, not only the political stand, probably weapons as well to kill more Palestinians and to increase the genocide, to scale up, to escalate the genocide against the Palestinians, being supported, of course, by Trump and by Europe, and by the inability, incapability, and by the submission of the Arab and the Muslim world and all other nations. So we are witnessing what's happening to the Palestinians could happen anyway to any country in the world, especially to the Arabs and Muslims. And unfortunately, the Palestinians are being let down by their neighbors and by the Muslim world and by the Arab world and by Europe and by those people who claim and that they are for democracy, for justice, for peace, for human rights. And it, things are proven, they are not for justice, not for democracy, not unless it is for white supremacist people. Yes?
Right. And Laith, I'm glad Mr. Abu Shark mentioned that. Okay, so Hungary to basically initiate leaving the ICC, which it has, according to the foreign minister of the Netherlands, Casper Veldkamp, which hosts the ICC, I should say, said today that until its withdrawal from the ICC is complete, which takes about a year, Hungary must still meet its obligations. So this can easily turn Laith into an arrest warrant for Viktor Orban himself, can't it? I mean, which may possibly be the only way to make this thing work. Because as a founding member of the ICC, Hungary has certain obligations that it cannot thwart, at least for the next year or so. And if we hold leaders that try to use this route of getting out of the ICC, but are somewhat committed legally, are bound to respect the ICC's obligations for a year, they could be setting themselves up for basically trouble.
Who is going to arrest him?
That was for Laith, Mr. Abu Shark. Mr. Abu Shark, let me get that to Laith. One second, Mr. Abu Shark. That was for Laith, and I'm going to come right back to you. Go ahead, Laith.
I mean, he is right. Who is going to arrest either Orban or Netanyahu? Netanyahu has already visited France, Germany, and the UK since this arrest warrant, and nobody arrested him there. So it would be actually really funny to see countries in the EU that have already hosted Netanyahu try to take it out on Orban and Hungary. And obviously, there is a battle within Europe, and Hungary is on one side of that battle, and France and Germany on the other side. So we may see these, you know, spats between the EU members, but ultimately, there is no way that a sitting prime minister of a European country will be targeted by the ICC and the Netherlands for arrest. I think that's fantastical. It's you know, it's a parallel reality. And the thing that is more realistic is that the EU members, including Hungary, will continue to supply the Zionist colony with weapons, with finances, and with protection for continuing its genocide.
Thank you, Mr. Abushark. I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead. And before, and I'll, let me get this, read this quick thing for our viewers and for yourself. That I would like you to comment on it. The Israeli Minister of Foreign Affairs, Gideon Saar, today, he praised Hungary and its Prime Minister, Viktor Orban, on social media for what he called taking a strong moral stance by announcing his decision to withdraw from the ICC. Here's his post. PM underlined, Viktor Orban, thank you and Hungary for your clear and strong moral stance alongside Israel and the principles of justice and sovereignty. Mr. Abushark, what can the Israelis and Viktor Orban teach us about morality after the wholesale slaughter of over 50,000 Palestinians?
Actually, this is the most immoral, the most indecent stand on the part of the Hungarian Prime Minister, or you see. And that shows the criminals, both countries are criminals, and this is an alliance of criminals against the victims. And it shows that they have not the faintest idea about the values of human life, the values of justice, the values of nobility, the values of honor, the values of peace. All their values are based on crimes, butchery, on slaughter, killing, genocidal wars, and they have no respect for any human value, for mankind, for humanity. And that shows that Israel is an apartheid state, and Israel is a criminal state, and Israel is committing a genocide against the Palestinian people, and all at this state, settler colonial state, must be dismantled, and all its leaders, from Netanyahu to the so-called the foreign minister, war minister, whatever, they must be brought to court for the crimes they committed against the Palestinian people, for this Nazi-minded mentality, which kills children, imposes starvation on the Palestinian people, deprive them of water, of food, of medicine, impose a medieval siege on them, and the whole world is just watching idly by, including Hungary, America, the West, the neighbors, and everybody. So that shows the whole world should protest, should demonstrate against these people, and should bring those leaders, whether in Hungary or Israel or America, to the criminal court of justice to be tried for the crimes they committed against the Palestinian people.
And Laith, we have to mention that Viktor Orban does not speak for all Hungarian people. In fact, he has banned, I don't know if you've heard, all pro-Palestinian rallies and protests leading up, he's stifling all Hungarian voices leading up to Netanyahu's visit, a trend that you very well know we have seen among many populations whose leaders do not support their government stance on Israel. And now we're seeing it in Hungary.
Yes, I know. The people are, you know, they demonstrate everywhere. But definitely, unfortunately, you see the leaders, political leaders, even in America, everywhere, the political. There are even demonstrations in occupied Palestine against Netanyahu. There are demonstrations, protests in support of the Palestinians all over the world. But politicians, there is, you know, who collude and who conspire against the Palestinian people, and but they are the decision takers and they are the decision makers. And this is why they must be brought to accountability and to the court of justice and to the criminal court of justice, to the criminal court. And then we call upon the people not to vote for such war criminals.
And let me
say, in Hungary or in America or in Britain or in France or anywhere, because these are a threat toward peace and security, and they could lead to apocalypse and to a third world war, which
and let me put
havoc to the whole world.
And Mr. Abu Shark, please let me put that same question to Laith. Laith, because you know, Viktor Orban, he's long mirrored, along with Donald Trump, Netanyahu's authoritarian playbook, where they try to crush judicial independence, they attack civil society, crack down on protests, and do a lot of defying international law. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, there is no more freedom of speech or democracy or human rights in the West. You know, in Germany, in France, in the UK, in Canada, in the US, we see that the vast majority of the population are against the genocide that's being committed by the Zionists, are against arming the Zionists, but their politicians don't care. And in fact, no politician will represent the will of the people in Europe or North America, where, the vast majority of the population is against these war crimes and crimes against humanity. So what we will, what we are seeing right now is the fact that all of these countries in the West have adopted Zionism as their religion, as the sacred. And anyone who criticizes Zionism or the Zionist colony is considered a heretic that is going to be targeted for punishment and expulsion and deportation, as we see even EU members, Irish citizens in Germany, are being deported today because they joined demonstrations inside Germany for Palestine. So Viktor Orban is not an anomaly. He is actually the pure representation of where the rest of the European states are going to go. They're just going a little bit slower than he is, but you know, with the arrival of Trump, it's clear that right now we live in a fascist world, Western world that is fascist, and if you cannot protect yourself militarily, be prepared to be genocided like the Palestinians.
Very well put there, Laith. Mr. Abu Shark, the regime and the U.S. Have for years made a mockery of international laws and bodies, the ICC, the ICJ, the UN General Assembly, the UN Security Council. What are the dangers these precedents set for all of us when we allow Tel Aviv and Washington, D.C. to single-handedly detonate the application of international law for everyone?
Yes, this is what's happening to Palestine could happen to any country, in the world, if the whole world keeps silent and doesn't do anything. And this is why I think the whole world should have a say in that. They should kick out America and Israel. America and Israel must be kicked out from the United Nations, from the General Assembly, from the International Court of Justice, from the International Criminal Court, from all, and they should boycott them. They should not cooperate with them politically, economically, at all levels. This is how, of course, if you isolate America, if you are isolate Israel, then they will be totally isolated by the people, and they will be powerless, and they then they cannot stand against the whole world. But if you keep investing in those countries and give them trillions, like some Arab countries, for example, and then you trade with them, and you have good relations with them, and you keep silent about their crimes, then I think they will go on until they cause havoc to the whole world, and probably the whole world will be crushed, and the whole world will be destroyed because of those criminals in Tel Aviv and in Washington.
Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us here in the program. Time has gotten the better of us. Mr. Laith Maruf there, Executive Director at Free Palestine TV. They're joining us from Lebanese capital, Beirut. And Mr. Asad Abushark, Palestinian academic and activist, joining us from Dublin. And this brings us to the end of your Spotlight program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Tough talk and threats aside, the Zionist regime finds itself in a more vulnerable position than at any point in its history. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, "It is clear that Israel is now using the Arabs to mask its own vulnerabilities. And though the monkey continues to climb, his tail has never been as exposed as it is today. The higher the monkey climbs, the more he shows his tail," warns a timeless Chinese proverb. The Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, however, seems to neither heed the lessons of history nor the wisdom of such folk sayings. While leading a vilification campaign against Egypt, the Zionist regime leader is further exposing his regime's vulnerabilities. This is yet another example of Israel's inability to alter the political reality in Gaza, 17 months after it launched its devastating war on the Gaza Strip. By targeting Egypt, the Zionist regime aims to project an image of prowess and that it is unafraid to confront the most populous Arab nation. Yet, in doing so, it inadvertently exposes its own weaknesses. This behavior is wholly consistent with Netanyahu's legacy of running away forward. Long before October 7, 2023, Netanyahu was riding a wave of political euphoria. At the time, his relentless climb to greater heights seemed justified. His global South diplomacy was reversing decades of Israeli isolation, and his success in gaining international recognition without paying a significant political price earned him immense popularity at home. In Israel, Netanyahu kept winning one election after another. His latest right-wing extremist coalition secured a comfortable majority in the Knesset, facing little pushback. The extremists were poised to transform Israel from within, reconfigure the region, and, with the usual unconditional support from the United States, position the Israeli regime as a global power commanding respect and authority. However, October 7 and the Zionist regime's catastrophic failure on all fronts exposed Netanyahu's tail as a failed leader. The crisis quickly manifested in global outrage as Israel carried out a genocidal war on the Palestinians, killing and wounding over 160,000 people in the course of 15 months. The Zionist regime's tail was further exposed as the once confident leader who tirelessly promised to reshape the West Asia region to fit Israel's agenda, became a wanted criminal by the International Criminal Court on November 21st. while his regime faced investigations for the crime of genocide by the International Court of Justice. Yet Netanyahu climbed even higher, doubling down on his approach. He insisted on continuing the war in Gaza, maintaining a military presence in Lebanon, and carrying out frequent and massive bombing campaigns in Syria. Bravado aside, Netanyahu has still failed to achieve any of Israel's stated objectives through the devastating war on Gaza, a war that has also cost Israel unprecedented losses and casualties. Meanwhile, the divisions among the political and military elites are deepening. The latest manifestation of this is the firing of many top military brass and the reordering of the army to align with Netanyahu's political ambitions. The more Israel's vulnerabilities are exposed, the more Netanyahu and his allies intensify their threats, not only against Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria, but also against Egypt. In fact, Egypt, which is not a party to the war and has been one of the three mediators in ceasefire talks, has become the primary target of the Zionist regime's new strategy aimed at ethnically cleansing Gaza's population into the Sinai Desert. But how did this come about? Egypt was hardly a factor in the Israeli regime war on Gaza. Yet, as the war on Gaza dragged on, with no possibility of a total victory, top Israeli regime officials began pointing fingers at Egypt. The idea of taking over the Philadelphia corridor, separating the city of Rafah in southern Gaza from the Egyptian border, was first floated by extremist finance minister Bezalel Smotrich. Others, including Netanyahu himself, soon began parroting the same words. In the media, the language took an even more foreboding turn, with some accusing Egypt of arming the resistance movement Hamas, or of not doing enough to stop the flow of weapons to the Palestinian resistance. When Egypt rejected Israeli regime accusations and refused to accommodate Israel's wish to ethnically cleanse Gaza, Israeli regime leaders began talking of an Egyptian military threat, alleging that Egypt was amassing troops at its border with Israel. The original aim of roping Egypt into Israel's failed war was meant to create a distraction from the battlefield. Eventually, however, the distraction turned into deflection, blaming Egypt for Israel's inability to win the war or to displace the Gaza population. To some extent, Netanyahu has succeeded in making Egypt part of the conversation on Gaza, with U.S. President Donald Trump repeatedly proposing the displacement of Palestinians and the takeover of Gaza. The Zionist regime leader felt that finally he had a clear American commitment to export Israel's problems elsewhere. Even the leader of the Israeli opposition, Yair Lapid, used Egypt to distract from his own failure to mount a serious challenge to Netanyahu's rule. On February 25th, he proposed that Cairo oversee the strip for a number of years at a conference in Washington. While Palestinians, Arabs, and others reacted angrily to the Israel-U.S. ethnic cleansing schemes, few paid attention to the fact that, historically, Israel has never sought permission to ethnically cleanse Palestinians. This was as true during the 1948 Nakba as it is today. Putting pressure on Arab countries to concede to the Zionist regime's ethnic cleansing plans is the strongest sign yet of Israel's weakness. Tough talk and threats aside, the child killer regime of Israel finds itself in a more vulnerable position than at any point in its history. It is clear that the Zionist regime is now using the Arabs to mask its own vulnerabilities. And though the monkey continues to climb, his tail has never been as exposed as it is today.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Dozens more Palestinians, including another journalist, are killed in Israel's new strikes on Gaza as the regime's genocide rages on across the besieged territory. UNICEF says Israel's total blockade of Gaza has deprived over 1 million children of life-saving assistance for more than a month. The Yemeni army carries out a fresh anti-US operation in the Red Sea, targeting an American aircraft carrier and accompanying warships with missiles and drones. Thank you for joining us. More Palestinians have fallen victim to Israel's air and artillery strikes in Gaza as the regime's genocidal war rages on unabated across the besieged territory. At least 8 civilians, including a journalist, were killed and 20 wounded in Israeli shelling of a tent housing displaced people and a house west of the southern city of Khan Yunis. 2 Palestinians were killed and several others injured in separate strikes in Khan Yunis and Gaza City's Shujaiya neighborhood. 2 Israeli drone strikes also targeted a group of people in Shujaiya, killing 3 Palestinians. Another drone strike killed 6 Palestinians in Beit Hanun.